3 and verse 1. We start out in Greek, and then we explain it to the last letter in English. That's what we try to do. Dio. Make it say. Don't say. Udo ke salmon. Para le le seine. In Athenes. Monoi. All right. Now, there's some grammar in here that actually you have to explain it because it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But when you explain it, then it makes sense. All right. He said, wherefore, no longer able to. If dio is wherefore, and then no longer, mekete, it comes from me, and uk and eti, actually. This is quite a word there. No longer, it's a little adverb. And then it says stegontes. Now, stegontes, it actually means roof. You want to write that down, it means roof. The ceiling, and all the roof of the house. Not the ceiling, but the roof itself. Okay? That's where the word came from. Now, how many of you have ever seen these old... See, where in the world... Hold on. How many of you have ever gone to Schweitzer's Corner? You know where Schweitzer's Corner is? How many of you know where Schweitzer's Corner is? But Greg, you know where Schweitzer's Corner is, don't you? Oh, you know where. It is Union Avenue and Bear Mountain Boulevard. That old restaurant out there, that's Schweitzer's Corner. It's a little sway back. All right? It's a sway back roof. It's so old that it's just... It's Burroughs Place. All right? Schweitzer's Corner. Burroughs Cafe. Well, it's sway back. And that's what he's talking about here. No longer able to bear up. To endure. To cover with silence. That's where this word comes from. No longer, and it's the nominative plural masculine present participle active. Look at that. Now, it's used a couple other places in the Bible, but it's in singular meaning, 1 Corinthians 9 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. It says we couldn't endure. And then it says in the next word, we decided. You can put that down there. We decided, or we were well pleased, or we decided it made us happy to do something. We decided, okay? We decided to be left alone. And that comes from Kata and Lepo. All right, look at that. It means to be left down or left alone. And then it says in Athenes. Now, I think when I wrote this in linear, I put down locative singular. Okay? It's locative singular in idea, but not in grammar. It's locative plural. Look at the ending on that. Athenes. That's Athens. All right? Now, how many Athens are there? Huh? Athens, Greece. There's one Athens, isn't there? How many of you have been in Bakersfield today? What part of Bakersfield? How many parts does Bakersfield have?
North, south, and four.
Well, you got four quarters in the middle, too, don't you? And then you got the regions around it. So now do you understand what it means? We decided to be left or to stay in the regions of Athens. Plural. The regions of Athens. So it's what you call a linguistic singular plural or literary plural. And look at the word monoi there. What would be singular?
Monoi?
Yes. So what do we have here? We have more than one person standing there alone. All right. Okay. In Greek, it tells you all of that.
Then in Greek, it's
together alone.
Huh?
Together
alone. Alones. All right, to make it literal, alone. All right?
Now, he said here what he's saying in context now, or in syntax, in context. Remember, sometimes when you read the Bible, it really doesn't make sense. But what Paul is saying here, we wanted to come and see you. I yearn for you like a mother does his sucking child, or a father does his the child of his own loins. But he said, Satan hindered me. Now, Satan is alive and well in the world. He's hindering God's work every day. He is. And you as God's children are being hindered daily in your walk because of sin, aren't you? We are. Every one of us. We taste, we feel, we experience, we smell, we see Satan every day. Not in the little fiery red devil that we have conjured up in the comedies and cartoons and everything else, but he's alive. He's alive in politics. He's alive in religion. He's alive in people's lives. He's alive in their taste. The world today. Now I want you to pay real close attention to what I'm saying. The world today. You know why there's so many churches in the world? The Lord founded his church when he left his world. Okay? He said he'd be here until he got back. Okay? But there's thousands of different denominations of churches. Mm-hmm. Why?
Can't agree.
Huh?
You can't agree.
It's sin. That's what it is. It's sin. It's because I'm going to go do what I want to do. I am going to find a church that agrees with my lifestyle. Well, I want to find a church that agrees with my lifestyle. If I want to drink, if I want to adultery, if I want to gamble, whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to go to a church where I can go do that and nobody's going to bother me and I'm not going to feel bad doing it. What they really need to do is quit it. Quit it. You need to be morally sound. You're not ever going to be happy unless you're morally and spiritually sound in God's Word. Now, Paul says we're going to send Timothy to you to establish you in the faith. The faith. Not, I mean the faith. Let's go on a little bit further. 3 and 2. Chi? Ethan? Salmon. Ethan Salmon. Okay? That's that word right there. That looking like a pitchfork. That's a C right there. F-T-F-I. That's how you pronounce that thing, all right? And Epimsamen. That comes from temple. All right? Timotheo. Tom. Adelpho. Himo. Hi. Synergon. Tu. Tu. Him. To. Euangelio. Tu. Christo. Ace. To. Therese. Himas. Kai. Parakalese. Hiper. Tais. Tisios. Himo. Now let's go back and look at these words. And we sent. Now, this is First Harris, Brother Ken. I'm going to tell you the difference between First Harris and Second Harris tonight, okay?
Hot dog.
Hot dog? You ready to go? I told you this a long time ago, but you know what? There's a time element to learn it. First Harris is punctiliar action, okay? And then we're going to look at a Second Harris in a few minutes. First Harris is punctiliar point action. It's something that happens at a period of time, a point of time, and what things can happen at a point of time?
Does that mean the point of time?
Yes. It's a punctiliar action. Salvation. Okay. You are having been saved. You have been saved at one point in time in your life. You don't get saved over and over again. It's not a process of salvation, but one time the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and to your spirit, and that is it. Now, there's conviction from then on. There's leading of the Holy Spirit and everything. But that's the point of salvation, punctiliar action. Okay? That's 1 Peter. He sent Timothy, the brother of us and fellow worker. All right? Of the God, belonging to God. He belonged to God. Now, some of the manuscripts in different places have diakonon in there too, by the way. You can look at some, you'll find them as you study Greek, where you've got synergon. Synergon, it comes from two words, syn, all right, and ergon. Ergon, we get the word ergonomics, working, work, ethics, or whatever, you know. It means to work together. Our fellow worker belonging to God in the gospel, in the euangelion. What is that euangelion there? The good message. The word angel comes from that too. The word epsilon upsilon in the front of it there, that epsilon ypsilon, by the way, that E-U looking thing, that means good. All right? That's the prefix. And then we have angelio. That word, our word angel comes from that, and that means the good message. The good message is that Jesus Christ died. Well, he came according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, and he was raised according to the scriptures. That is the gospel, and that is the good news. All right? Of the Christ. Now, here we have ace. And ace, you can look that one on page 119, and that little analytical lexicon. But this word ace here, it means, grammatically, it means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Now, I've said that a million times in this class in the last 6 or 7, 8 years, in the last 30 years speaking Greek, or 30-something years. Ace. You can't translate that word by one word. He's had a great teacher say in reference to. And that's the only way he translated. Well, that was what he had in his head. But it means more than that. Right here, this word right here, come in here, have a seat. Let me give you a book here. Look at that. Here you go. 1 Thessalonians 3, and verse 2.
You need another one?
That's only one dot.
Okay.
The message of the Christ, and then we have the word ace here. Now this word ace here, in this verse, in this syntax, that we have it in here, has to be translated in a whole idea. For the final purpose of establishing you in the faith. That's what it means. That one word means all this, okay? Because that's the idea. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Remember that. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what that word ace means. And then to serize. Alright? First aorist infinitive active again. Peculiar action. Alright? To establish. Serize. What English word do we have that comes from this word serize in Greek? Some of you go and get these shots every now and then, especially when you get into geriatric.
Is it steroids?
All right. What's the stuff that they give you? Cortisone. Cortisone is a steroid. What does cortisone do to you? They give you a shot in your joints or whatever, and what does it do to that joint? Have any of those lately, Fred?
I'm looking forward.
Yeah. That's what makes you strong again. It makes your joints heal and makes them strong again. That's what the word steroid comes from, this word, sterize. To make you firm. To establish ye and hemos. Now, each church, when you say the word ekklesia, in Greek, in English it should be translated assembly. All right. And in Spanish it is iglesia. That's it, right? Almost?
Almost.
Iglesia?
Better roll it out.
All right. Iglesia. All right. Well, it means one's called out. Do you see, grammatically, Greek is beautiful. What does it say there, buddy? Yeah? Himas. That's it. Himas. 3 and 2. The second B. 3 and 2B. Oh, you don't have that one out.
I don't have that.
Okay. Himas kai parakalese. The second.
Okay.
He made. He mocked. That's accusative What?
Plural.
We're talking about a church here. But a church is not a building. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And it's always been the people. And when the Bible is going to talk about that church, it's going to talk about the people, not the priest, not the preacher, not the deacons, not the elders, but the church, the people. What is the church? Grammatically, the Bible is beautiful. And then it says Kai and Parakalese. Parakalese. And this word means to call alongside and to comfort. To there's an idea here is of cherishing someone. Cherishing and loving. There's an idea. You know, the Holy Spirit comforts us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you're saved, well, the Holy Spirit, before you're saved, it doesn't do anything but make you miserable. You know that? That's it. All the Holy Spirit does before you're saved is makes you miserable. He leads you to salvation. That's what He does. After you're saved, then He comforts you and He convicts you of truth. Alright? Alright. And what is it? It's first aorist, infinitive act. See that peculiar action? But it is also an infinitive, which means what?
Continuous action.
Continuous action. So you have to do that. Well, Timothy was coming one time to do this, wasn't he? Whatever time, what period of time he was there, that's when he established them, that's when he covered them, and then in words, he paired, paid, pistulos, came on. Alright? On behalf of the... Now this word is faithful. Faithfully. The faithful ones. The faithfully ones. The ones that are faithful. You know who the ones that you can teach? God, He has appointed me and called me to teach His Word. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Okay? But God has given me many students. Some of them hear, some of them do not hear. Did you know that? A lot of people go to church. And they go to church because of where it is. Or they got friends there, or whatever. And they go there for fellowship and for camaraderie and whatever. Your family went there. Well, this is the church that my grandmother went, my grandfather went. This is my aunts and uncles. Everybody's here in this church. This is why we come here. Well, they go there because of that. And a lot of times they go there and the Word of God just goes right over their head. They're just there. Yeah.
When I first came to church, that's the only reason why I came with all my family.
Yeah. Something happened to you. The Spirit got you, didn't it? The Spirit is of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right to your heart. The Holy Spirit stabs you down deep in your heart. The Bible uses that term, stabs you down deep in your heart. Well, I've seen people go to church for 20 years. And all of a sudden, one day, they wake up and realize when the sermon is preached, the Word of God is preached, that they are lost. That they are undone without Christ, that they have never believed, they've never come to the point of believing in peculiar action. In peculiar action. And saying, God, forgive me for Jesus' sake. Because I know I am undone before you. And they'll go down and they'll get saved. They don't have to actually, you know when they're getting, when they're saved? You know when they're saved, Brother Ken? When they step out.
When they realize.
When they realize, when they step out, because your heart is already prepared, you are already given up. My wife is about the most bashful person that ever walked the face of God's green earth. She is. That woman's backwards. She was a... She is. That's absolute truth. Well, she was kept in a house out there on that farm all her life. And she didn't get away from it until her folks died. She didn't know what the world was like. And one day, when she came to this church, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart and drug her down to the aisle, didn't it? You couldn't resist. She's bashful. She said, boy, that church is so big. she never been to over 3 people in a room before, you know. I mean, she walked down the aisle, I don't know how many hundreds of people were there, but she walked down the aisle, and not only that, she was baptized.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit does things. It gives you comfort, it gives you strength, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit gives you strength.
Gives you strength to witness about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit sets your heart on fire. Go pray.
Yeah, I'm so glad you believe in the doctrine. You're irresistible.
Somehow I don't think that was the point.
It just said
it. I know, I heard the same thing.
No one ever resisted the grace of God that ever got to heaven. But I think a lot of people resist the grace of God. And he, and to exhort on behalf of the faithfully ones. There are those in church that you can teach. Those in church that just go to church, and those are there, those that go to church to learn God's Word. God's working on their heart. Matter of fact, church isn't enough. They got to take church home with them. They got to turn the radio on. They got to get tapes out and play them. That's those nuts, that, that one of the nuts you live with, isn't it? I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do in the morning is walk. Turn the table. Turn the table and get fired up. Right off of that. What else can you do in the morning? You've been sleeping all night long. Sometimes I preach in my sleep. Sometimes I teach in my sleep. Wake up in the morning and I think I listened to 4 hours of sermons today or five, something like that. That's how come I'm so fired up when we get to church. I'm already rejuvenated. On behalf of those that will listen. Some of them that Timothy went to there wouldn't listen in Thessalonica, but some would. Some of them were faithful. Well, if he talked about on behalf of the faithful ones, guess what? There were some there that weren't faithful, huh? There's some there that just go to church. That's all. They just go to church. But there's some people that go to church that are faithful and that the Holy Spirit can touch their lives and change them. God will change it. You are not static when you're saved. You are not static. If you are, you're backsliding. If you are not static, and I don't mean losing your salvation either. You are not static. You are in a constant change. As you learn in your life, as I'm using Marilyn, I'm really working you over tonight. But I saw God changing her life. I saw God changing her life. Just as she would learn God's Word, she'd say, you know something? That's wrong. Yeah, it's wrong. You start realizing that God draws some barriers, doesn't it? That this is wrong and this is right. And how do you figure out what's wrong and what's right? How do you feel? How do you figure it out? What is our rule of faith and practice?
Scripture.
Thank you, Brother Brett. Drop A. The Bible. Scripture. That's going a little bit further. Here he refers back to the last chapter. And of course we know that the Bible wasn't really written in chapters or in verses because many of these are all sentences. But so we can study the Bible easier. We say, well, this is 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and this is verse 3, okay? But back in the last chapter, we're going to refer back to there in just a minute. Manela. Saneste.
And
Pace. Felicin. Palpace. Alcoy. Dar. Odate. Ode. Pace. Tuto. Kemefa. Let's go back and look at this verse. One of these got second errors in some way. We're going to find here pretty soon. It says, let no one, is what it means there, medene, do not allow anyone to be, have his tail wagged. That's what it means in Greek. How many, my mother's got a dog. That's the most pitiful looking thing that walked this whole world. I mean, it's got wrinkles all over its face. It looked like it was 100 years old when it was 3 days old. Born with wrinkles. Little old short haired thing. And when it wags its tail, what happens?
Happy.
It's happy, all right, but what's it do?
The wrinkles.
No. When it wags its tail, what does it... When that dog wags its tail, that tail wags the whole body.
Oh,
it's just going like this, looks like it reminds me something out of Ballast that's going across the floor wagging its tail like that. Just bouncing off like a BB off the wall of the barrel. Just, and its tail's wagging like this, and the whole body's just wagging with it. The tail wags the whole body of the dog. Just watch the dog sometimes. When it's wagging its tail, it's usually not just wagging its tail like that. But it's and it's kind of a counterbalance is what it is. And it keeps balance. You take a grown dog and cut its tail off and it'll be falling all over the yard. It won't be able to walk. It'll take a long time working. Walk around again. Lose its balance. Now what in the world has that got to do with this word senesta? I don't know, what does this mean? It's present, indicative, passive. All right? And here in the last chapter it says that Satan blocked Paul's path many times. So if you want to go back and teach this to the church, it does not happen. So what in the world has tail wagging got to do with the dog? And got to do with you? And got to do with the Thessalonian church? Well, it also came to mean to flatter, to deceive. I remember when I read this verse right here, a long time ago, probably 30 years ago, I trained horses all my life off and on. They're training me now. They nicker and said, come here. I used to whisper, snap my fingers, horse come to me. Now they nicker and make me go to them. Wait on them. Well, I trained this little old bronc. These guys had this little old pony, and they really abused it. I mean, they've been turned into the sheriff's office today, or hauled off to jail for what they did to that little pony. They'd get out there, grown people with big people, and it was a small pony, and they'd get on it, and they'd put a bucking skirt single on the thing, and they'd get on there with their spurs, and just rake that thing from here to there and back, and that little thing could really buck and squeal and go on. He was mean. Nobody could even walk into the pen with his horse. I called him Skeeter. Well, I walked in the pen with him, and he came right at me, teeth and front feet, and squirreling and kicking. I gave $25 for that horse, saddle, and bridle. They threw in the bridle and saddle, so I bought a horse. Because nobody could do anything with him. I got out there, and I had to beat him off of me with a whip. But I had that horse doing tricks, standing up on the barrel. I had him driving. He could drive a cart and everything else. And finally, I had built a cart for him. And I don't remember what happened. We decided to get rid of him. Boy, he could go down about 15, 20 miles an hour down the road. He had such a pace he could just fly. But to get him to where he could trust me, to where I wasn't going to kill him, the more I wasn't going to hurt him, was a real obstacle. But I got him trained. And I sold him for a lot of money. Him and a little cart and everything. Well, the guy came to my house and gave me the money. Said he wasn't going to be at home, but to take the horse out there in the horse trailer and leave the cart and everything there with the little harness and everything, and I told him it was out in the Rosedale area someplace, but that was in the sticks, you know, the Rosedale was out in the country, nothing but bayou out there back then. Well, I took him out there and I left him out there, and I walked up to the house and was going to leave a note on the door. I walked up in that yard and I saw this dog. And it sat there and looked at me and just kind of smiled at me and wagged its tail a little bit. I got up there and put the note on it, the dog didn't do it. But when I got ready to leave, that dog was going to eat me alive. It was one of them deceivers. One of them deceivers. I mean, that was one of them lying dogs. I mean, I got my pocket knife out. And my pocket knife is always sharp. And I pointed that knife right at that dog like that, and I backed out of that yard. If that dog would have jumped at me, I'd have stabbed him.
Well, yeah.
And that dog knew it, too. But he was going to eat me alive. Boy, once I got up the door and I turned around, that tail didn't wag anymore. He deceived me till I got to the door. They want to eat me. Wag the tail. Don't be drawn aside. Don't be flattered away from God. And then it says, in taste, and look at this. This taste there, what is that? This is the same thing as that word over there, same kind of ending as Ephesus, wasn't it? Not Ephesus, but Athens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, plural. This is what we have another literary plural.
Mm-hmm.
In the afflictions, these. How can you be afflicted? After you're saved, you can be afflicted by your family,
mm-hmm.
by your friends, by your health, by your desires, by trying to make a living. Everything in this world can, just normal things that you deal with every day can afflict you. You're finally pulling in the wrong direction. Your friends, your job. You might have been ugly as sin before you got married, but somebody is going to fall for you after you get saved, and they're going to try to draw you away from God.
Mm.
It's going to happen. Satan is going to use every affliction that he can use to draw you aside. He's going to wag his tail until you get up there to the door, and then he's going to bite you. These. Then it says, for yourselves, you know. You know. You have known. Look at that word. Ye have known. Oidate. That's perfect. Second person plural. Perfect indicative action. Perfect tense means what? Completed action. Absolutely completed and finished action. Ye have known. Ye, in a lot of ways, ye have been called to know. That, because of this, we have been appointed. We appoint ourselves. Here's the problem, Brother Fred. The subjunctive and middle voices. But it's all about salvation. Subjunctive and middle voices. What do you do? What it means that you've done this to yourself, actually. Once you've been saved, guess what? You're just calling for blows from Satan. I don't know, we've seen movies, we've seen stories written about somebody that sold their soul to the devil. And they had all kinds of success and everything. You know, we see all that. Well, you know what? Everybody that's not saved belongs to Satan. You don't have to sell your soul to him, he's already got it. And the world can give you so much success that you wouldn't want to be saved. You wouldn't give that world up for salvation at all. But once we do it, we appoint ourselves to be tribulated. All right, 3 and verse 4. Chi, gar, hote, pros, himas,
amen,
proelogamen, amen, hote, melomenen, salit. Leveste, celebeste, tapo, kai, agenito, kai, oidate. Or even when we were with you, Paul says, when we kept on being with you. Look at that word there, amen, there. It's not amen like at the end of a prayer. This is amen. First person plural, imperfect indicative active. When we kept on being with you, when they continued, how long did Paul stay at this church? Well, how long did he build the church? We know 3 weeks that we know of. He might have been there a little longer than that, but he was there 3 weeks as far as we know. So during that 3 weeks, while Paul, he says, while we were with you, we told you beforehand. First person plural. We kept on telling you beforehand. All right, pro-elogenes. This word comes from pro, and you can get the word prophecy out of this. All right, prophecy means to say before, doesn't it? Well, this is the same. This word means to say the same thing. We told you beforehand. We kept on telling you beforehand to ye that we were about to be afflicted. What happened to Paul in Thessalonica? When he preached the word of God, the people, the contemptuous ones, the Jews, came after him. This movie that just came out about Jesus, the Jews are having a collection wall-eyed fit. A snot-nosed, crying, bawling, squalling all over the media about it. They didn't want it to even be released in this country. They wasn't for sure they were going to even let it be shown in America. I haven't seen the movie yet. But I think why it says that was when Jesus was going to be crucified after Pilate had whipped Pilate 5 times said Jesus was not guilty and the Roman government had no reason to crucify him. And he washed his hands and he ceremonially said, I am free of this man's blood. And they said, crucify him. And they said, why? They said, crucify him, crucify him. And he thought that they were going to absolutely start a civil rebellion and start killing people right there in the palace. And they said one thing. Well, they kept on saying it. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Mm-hmm. Well, it has been. It has been.
And that's where it is today.
God beat those people up real good. They said, let the wrath of God be upon us and our children. And Jesus looked over there at Jerusalem. When he had looked over there, he looked and he wept. It says he kept on weeping. And he said, how many times I would have called you unto myself, but you would not come. You would not come. He's going to soften them up one of these days. The hard way. I told my wife, I've cooked all of my life. And I get meat sometimes that's a little bit tough. And I get a good, heavy, sharp knife, and I lay it out on the deal, and I cut it this way on one side, then I cut it this way on one side, half the way through. And I flip it over, and I cut it this way, and then I cut it that way. And then it's already flattened out real good, so I cut it out in smaller pieces, and I'll fry it from there. God's going to do that to Jews in tribulation period. It's going to tenderize them. Chop them up. They've been chopped up for 2,000 years. And when God said he was going to call them back, he said he's going to hiss and call them back into the land in the last day. Well, he did. And they said, oh, God loves us again. No, he still hates them. He still hates them. But there's going to be a certain amount of them that's going to be saved. Not because of what they did, but the indelible promise that he made with Abraham. There's still a covenant, an unbreakable covenant, because that covenant depends upon God and him only. To be afflicted, just as indeed it happened. It became for itself. Look at that word again, Brother Ken. Now, what kind of a word is that? From one state to another. Someone turn to John 1:14 for me. John 1:14, and I want you to read that verse. John 1:14. What do you young ladies have that up here? Taught it you want to. 1:14. The Gospel of John 1:14. Have you got that, Perry? All right.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
All right. The Word became flesh. That word became there. That's it. All right. What's the equivalent, the Hebrew equivalent of that word, Brother Kent?
That's a root for
Jehovah. Ha-yah. That's the word. That's the Hebrew equivalent. Now we've heard about the what in literary theology, what does that mean? Septuagint. And guess what I brought tonight? The Septuagint. All right. And we've heard over the years how that the Septuagint, they took 70 scholars or 72 scholars or however many of them there were, and they put them in cells, and that they were in there for 70 days or 3 months or whatever. There's different stories about that. But they came out and they had translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, and every one of them was word for word perfect. Hogwash. I know Greek and I know Hebrew. All right? Barashif Bara. Elohim. Eth Hashimayim. Hashimayim we Eth Ha'aretz. That's what Genesis 1:1 says. All right? Barashif. What does that mean, Brother Ken? Remember? In beginnings. In beginnings. Now, this is what it says in the Septuagint. Brother Ken, is that equivalent to Barashif? You know enough about Hebrew now that this is not right, isn't it?
Right.
Well, the Septuagint has that. Right off. And the second word in the Septuagint is translated incorrectly. In beginnings. Beginnings. Many beginnings. In one of those beginnings, a time, and back in eternity past, God created, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. All right? Then it says down here, it says in Hebrew, the earth, she became formless and void. The earth, ha'aris, ha'ha, ba'u wa'u. She became formless and void. Now, another problem here is it translates this word right there. Instead of again, though. Which we have over here in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4, we have the word ain. What is ain?
Kept on being.
Now, the problem here was in the period of time that the Septuagint was translated, when was the Septuagint translated from Hebrew into Greek? The purpose for it, because everybody spoke Hebrew, and even the Hebrews didn't. I mean, everybody spoke Greek, and no one spoke Hebrew. Not even the Hebrews spoke their own language back then. They spoke Aramaic and Greek. And even more, and they spoke more Greek than anything. All of their commercial correspondence was all in Greek, because that was the language of the world. Koine Greek means universal language. That's what it means. That was the language of the whole world back then. But it translates it here in Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, and the earth was, the day was formless and void. Their idea back at that period of time, which was between 200 and 300 BC, the world had rubbed off on them. And their idea of the creation was that God had created chaos. And out of chaos, then he formed order. But that's not what happened. God doesn't create anything in chaos. Isaiah says, but he created all things in order. He created everything in order, but something happened to that order. It was destroyed. There was a disturbance. Peter refers to it. Paul refers to it. Jesus refers to it himself. That's what Satan planned. And the earth, she became a formless and void. Became a Genico. Now let's look at that word again. Comes from Genmai, and also it goes all. It means to change from one state to another. The word Jehovah comes from this word also. Haya, Jesus, the name Jehovah means he who shall become. The becoming one. It said that God would come out of eternity, out of his realm, and burst into human realm, into space and time, and become flesh. John 1:14. That's what it said there. Again, it's told. All right? The word, the Jehovah flesh, became in a period of time. There. Now let's look at that. This is what we call an ingressive, a durative linear peculiar action. That's second aorist, brother. All right? All right. It's kind of, it's not really durative linear, but there is a linear idea in second aorist that is not in first aorist. It is something that occurs. God became
Paul is speaking here, getting back to the subject, he's talking here that when we were with you, we told you that Satan was on his way to disturb you. He would disturb you. He was going to disturb you, and now it has happened for itself. Middle voice, by the way. Look at that word now. In John 1:14, and the word, he became flesh. God brought himself out of eternity into space and time. And this punctiliar yet durative linear action. Alright, this second aorist. And then it says, and you have known this. You understand this. You have known this. Oidate. What does this word oidate mean? What's the idea of oidate? It means a knowledge, all right. There's five words for knowledge in Greek. Okay? This word here means to see with your mind's eye, to see and understand it clearly in your head. He said, you have known this now. Now, we were with you. We told you this tribulation was coming. We told you the devil was at your doorstep now, like he was never going to be before. Because, Jesse, you've been tempted since you've been saved. Oh, yeah. I tell you, you've been tempting the devil, too, brother. You've been thrashing him out. People's lives, bringing people to church, and people being saved. Amen. Give an old devil a real kick, a real whooping. But he never goes away, does he? He said, I told you it would happen, it did happen, and you have known that. You saw it. It's happened since he... We told you the devil is going to come back after us. And who was the devil coming after them? Who did the devil use there in Thessalonica?
The Jews.
Not only did they get them there, but they went to another place right after that, and they followed them there.
3:5. We've covered some ground tonight, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. We're flying through here. Dios.
Yeah.
Tuco, Hago, Mekete, Stegon, Epempsa, Ace,
To,
None,
Pain,
Feaston, Himon, May, Pos, Epe, Racen, Himas, Ho, Terrazon. Kai, Ace, Kenon, Genete, Ho, Kapos, Himo. Because of this, I could no longer hold up under this, the word bearing there, because it's non-descending, massive, present participle, active. I couldn't bear this. I sent, for your benefit, for you to know, I sent Timothy to you. Remember this word, ace? It gets the whole idea in that one little word. I had to send Timothy to you, to establish so you would understand, to know. Look at that word to know there. Nona. Here's another word, brother, Greg. Here's another word for knowledge and to know right there. That's gnosko. Alright? We had oida, now we have gnosko. We also have loose in another place. To know. A second aorist infinity active. Second aorist, though, Ken. Tell me what second aorist is. Alright. To know. Alright. So you would know. And then it says, Cain and Piston. So you would know the faith. You would know the faith for certain by experience. So you would know the faith of you. Not how tempted ye the one tempted. Who is the one tempted? Dominique singular masculine. Who is he? Satan. Satan. Lucifer. Diabolos. Many, many names. The tempter. The liar. The false one. The one tempted. Parazo. The word tempting there, that means to put under stress. That means to wear out. That means to beat on you a lot. To wear you down. Which one? Parazo? Parazo. Parazo. All right. And now, God allows Satan to tempt us. Why does he do that? Huh? Well, God already knows what you're going to do, doesn't he? See, God's omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end, and eternity past, he knew all this stuff. So why would you be tempted?
Strengthens us.
For you.
For you.
First of all, so you'll know you can do it. You know, the whole story is, I can't do it, I can't do it. And my daddy used to say, can't, never did anything. Remember that? Can't, never did anything. Well, can't, didn't. Can't. Yes, you can do it. Once you have the dynamite to do it, the power, the strength, it comes from God. And because of gain, gain, benefit, why do you plant a seed in the ground? What do you do?
In hopes of some kind of plant.
Huh? Why do you plant one seed? Why would you sacrifice a seed of wheat? Because you're probably going to get 100 of them back. You have to sacrifice something. Never in your life, life is effort. Get up in the morning as you get older. When you get older, getting out of bed is hard. Staying out of bed is hard. When you get older, staying up is hard. And that's what it says here. Well, it's profit. Your tribulations are profit. First of all, when they see, when your family sees you, when your friends see you, when they see you go through tribulations, well, I didn't think he was going to make it, but he did it. Maybe the guy was on drugs. Maybe the guy was a homosexual before he was saved. Or her. And everybody said, well, I never made it. You know what? You got dynamite in you when you're saved. You get power over drugs, you got power over alcohol, you got power over sin, you got power over immorality. You got it. All you got to do is call upon it. And God can change your life. Because that's what He's here for. He's to change your life. You can go like the rest of the world. You don't have to go like the rest of the world. God can change your life. And that's the best, that's why God leaves you here. He can, the instant you're saved, He can and translate you right into His kingdom, into the glory. But He leaves you here. He leaves you here to witness for Him. So you can change other people's lives by the way you have been changed. Because I said, well, yeah. Brother Frank.
Yeah, I just wondered why sin is so exciting.
It's like that dog. I think of sin, I think about that dog. Now, never forget that dog. That dog sat over and wagged his tail at me and smiled. Just like that, just kind of opened his mouth up. I had a dog smile all the time. I called him Dog. He was half dog. He was half coyote and half dog. He looked just like a border collie. Dumber than dirt. Boy, he was dumb. He smiled all the time. That's a sweet little thing to smile all the time. He lay down on his back and go to sleep just like a human went on her back. Craziest thing. Smiled all the time. Well, this dog smiled at me until I got up there. Put that thing on that door. And then he wanted to kill me. Through my labor. That's like sin. It looks so good when you're getting close to it. But once you get there, it starts biting on you. Chewing you up. Alright, then it became. Second heresy for the kid. Again. It became. The beatings. That word, holokapos there, that can be beatings. Your beatings became profit for you. If whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says, God chastens every one of his sons that comes to him. He beats you.
Yep.
He turns you north and works on the south end. All right? Because we need them. We need it. We need chastening. We need correction. And then the word himon there. What's that word himon? I put down the wrong word there in that little translation. It should be of us. The beatings of us. Because Paul had beatings too, didn't he? He was a fellow victim. A fellow victim. Thank you for your endurance tonight. I hope you enjoyed this class. It's wonderful to thrash around in God's Word and to savor the beauty of the undiluted, inspired Word of God. But yes.
This is the first time I've told you the past book. Is it the Bible was really written in Greek?
In Greek, in the New Testament, Hebrew, and the Old Testament.
The New Testament was written
in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. We study it undiluted. Do you like this as well as you do Sunday morning running? We really get with it in here. And I'll tell you what. Since you're here, and you're here tonight, could you dismiss us in prayer? Would you like that, brother? Would that be all right?
Thank you, dear Lord, for gathering us all here together, for listening to Brother Jim's word, your word. Just want to thank you for everything you do for us. And